Family. We all come from a family, and our families affect us in powerful ways. For some, their families are more important than anything else, and they place them at the top of every list. For others, they wish to escape their families and the pain they've caused them. Still others recognize that their families are their link to the past and their bridge to the future. Families are important because they can offer support, security, and unconditional love. Research suggests that the makeup and membership in a family has important consequences for each member's well-being. A healthy family will reflect these characteristics: support, love, security, open and honest communication, a feeling of value, respect, and esteem, as well as a significant sense of belonging. Gary Chapman, author of The Five Love Languages, recommends these five characteristics of a healthy family environment: a heart of service, husbands and wives who relate intimately, parents who guide their children, children who obey and honor their parents, and husbands who love and lead. Well, what does God say about families, and how can we develop a godly perspective regarding their influence and impact on our lives and our decisions? From the very beginning, God ordained families and established them as centers of emotional support, placing the lonely in families, rewarding them with children who are a gift from the Lord, and establishing them as a place of teaching and instruction. Although there are friends who destroy each other, a real friend sticks closer than a brother. But an offended brother is harder to win back than a fortified city, suggesting that when these bonds are broken, they are difficult to rebuild, as many of us realize. In the same way that a wise son brings joy, but a foolish son brings grief to his mother. We are blessed when we come from a godly family, and their influence on our lives is immeasurable. This is certainly the case with Noah's family, as he was deemed the only blameless person living on earth at that time, and he walked in close fellowship with God. As a result, his entire family was allowed to enter the ark and were saved from the flood and rewarded with God's new covenantal blessing and instruction. Despite this, Ham, Noah's youngest son, disrespected his father, and because of Ham's attitude and actions, tainted his offspring, the Canaanites, from whom the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah developed. In the case of Abram, we see God's instruction to leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. In this instance, God established through Abraham a new godly family, which has separated itself from the idol worship of the Chaldeans. And because Abraham chose to set himself apart from the evil around him, God made him a new covenant, promising him land, family, and protection. This is very similar to Jesus' instruction to those who wish to follow him. He welcomes them into his service, but warns them that foxes have dens to live in and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place even to lay his head. And when they ask first to return to their family and serve them first, he counsels, "Let the spiritually dead bury their own dead. Your duty is to go and preach the kingdom of God." Jesus illustrates this again when he's advised that his family is asking to speak to him. His response, "Who is my mother? Who are my brothers?" And then he pointed to his disciples and said, "Look, these are my mother and brothers. Anyone who does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. They are his true family." We see this indicated when Jesus gives the command to go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. For some, like our family, it means leaving your family and your culture and your country behind and making a new family in another culture and another country. But sometimes our own family will doubt both our salvation and our call and try to dissuade us from following the Lord. That is what Jesus' family did, for at one point they wanted to seize him, for they were saying, "He's out of his mind." It's no wonder then that he warned, "A prophet is honored everywhere except in his own hometown and among his own family." Yet we must perceive and persevere and honor first God above our family's criticism. Does this negate our care for our families? Absolutely not. For one of God's commandments is to honor your father and mother, and then you will live a long life in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. And it's a command Jesus emphasizes in his teaching. In fact, Jesus, even as he's dying, arranges for the care of his mother, instructing John to provide for his mother and for Mary to look to John as her son. This certainly indicates the importance Jesus places on family and the responsibilities children have toward their parents. It's a point which he makes when he accuses the Pharisees of neglecting their parents, saying, "Why do you, by your tradition, violate the direct commandments of God? For instance, God says, honor your father and mother, and anyone who speaks disrespectfully of their father or mother must be put to death. But you say it's all right for people to say to their parents, 'Sorry, I can't help you, for I vowed to give to God what I would have given to you.' In this way, you say they don't need to honor their parents, and so you cancel the word of God for the sake of your own tradition, you hypocrites." Respect and care for family has been an important part of believers' decisions for centuries. Naomi advises Ruth to seek out her kinsman redeemer Boaz for protection and provision. And Rahab the prostitute specifically requested that her family be saved during the Israelites' attack on Jericho, a promise Joshua keeps, moving her entire family to a safe place near the camp of Israel. Jacob and his son Joseph made similar provision for their families. Jacob flees the evil Laban and takes his family back to his homeland to prevent Laban's greed and jealousy from destroying them. Joseph also made arrangements to protect his family from the famine by bringing them safely to Egypt and providing them with shelter and food. Abraham, too, goes to great lengths to protect his nephew Lot and his family, first by rescuing them when they are carried away by marauding bands, and then again when God warns him of the upcoming destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. In response to this knowledge, Abraham intercedes with God to have mercy on these cities, should there be first 50, then 45, then 40, 30, 20, and 10 righteous people still there. But only Lot and his family could be found. Thus, God, in response to Abraham's appeal, sends two angels to physically deliver Lot and his family before the cities are destroyed. These instances illustrate the importance of providing physical protection and provision, as well as spiritual intercession for our family members. But we also have a spiritual responsibility for our family members to pray for them and to teach them the ways of the Lord, as well as to avoid sinful practices. When God gives the Ten Commandments to Moses, he warns the children of Israel, "You must not bow down to false gods to worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God who will not tolerate your affection for any other gods. I lay the sins of the parents upon their children. The entire family is affected, even children in the third and fourth generations of those who reject me." There are, as we know, consequences for engaging in sinful practices, and our children will suffer for it. Besides our biological or adopted family, we are also part of a new family in Christ Jesus. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. And as such, we now cry, "Abba, Father." And when we become part of God's family, we are to make sure that we return to our earthly family and let them know the wonderful things that God has done for us, as Jesus advised the healed demoniac. Now that we are God's family, we are to practice right living and avoid sin in order that our testimony of the Lord's grace is not slandered. And we are also at every opportunity to do good to those who are in the family of faith. We are also to respect and love the family of believers and pray for those in God's family all over the world who are suffering. How are we doing with our family right now? Can they see Jesus in us? Are we caring and loving and providing and protecting them? Are we praying constantly for them to gain spiritual wisdom and insight so they may grow in their knowledge of God? Are we praying that their hearts are flooded with light so they can understand the confident hope Christ has given to those he's called? Are we praying that they will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe? With this prayer, beloved, amazing things can happen in our families. Amen.